Good morning, Devin. So good to see you today. If you are new today, welcome. I'm Pastor Bert, and I want to welcome you as we have launched our theme for 2024 this year, Discover. You know, as I was praying for you at the close of 2023, God told me that this would be a year of discovery for the church and for our community. And being the adventurous type, that excited me. Because I love to learn and discover new things. I want to discover more about God, about who he is and what he's done. Even an old fart like me can learn new things, you know. I want to discover more about his will and purpose for my life. I want to discover new relationships, new activities, new stuff. What about you? Are you ready for a new adventure? Three of you are. Good. Well, then you're at the right place. The rest of you, we'll work on you. Because all throughout this year, we're going to be on a journey of discovery, folks. And I hope that you'll join us each week as God reveals things we hadn't known and takes us places we've never been before. Now, I think maybe I just need to take a little bit of a step back this morning, because I'm pretty sure that I may have lost some of you when I mentioned God speaking to me. Let me assure you, it's not because I'm anyone special. In fact, I'm often not 100% sure it's God speaking or just the pepperoni pizza I had the night before. And it's not because God doesn't speak. It's because I'm not always listening as I should be. You see, one of the most basic claims of Christianity is that God speaks to people. All throughout the Bible, you'll find this phrase, "and God said." It doesn't take you long reading through that to realize that God does, in fact, speak to people. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. And you can't have a relationship without communication. And because of this, God has chosen to speak to us. The problem is that communication can sometimes be misunderstood. Let me give you an example. When Donna, my wife, speaks to me, I often A, don't hear her, B, don't listen to her, or C, don't understand what she's saying when I do listen. Now, I'm sure I'm the only man that's ever felt that way. Gentlemen, am I right? Yeah. Now, if I have that much difficulty communicating with my wife, who I see all the time, spend my entire life with pretty much, and I still mess up in the area of communication. We don't communicate clearly all the time. And really, you think about that, it shouldn't surprise me that I sometimes have communication problems with God. Of course, God does not have communication problems with me, but I can have problems with him, right? Communication problems with him. And frankly, I am kind of skeptical of people who seem to always have a clear word from God. Because a lot of stupid things have been done through history by people who've claimed that God had spoken to them. But on the other hand, there are times in my life when God has clearly spoken, and there's no doubt at all that he was speaking to me. It's like when Donna calls me on the phone. I don't have to ask who it is. I know her voice. So in the same way, there are times when God speaks to me and I know exactly who it is that's putting that thought into my heart or into my mind, because I've learned to recognize his voice. And the difference between hearing and not hearing clearly is often related directly to my attitude at the time. So today we're going to take a look at a story that Jesus told. That was recorded by the early church historian by the name of Luke. It's about a farmer sowing seeds, which is often referenced in relation to evangelism, and rightly so. It's about hearing God's word and receiving it. But one of the amazing things the writer to the early Hebrew church said about the Bible is that God's word is living and active. That means that the same passage can speak to different aspects of life and faith without conflicting with the original context. I believe that story Jesus told does this exact thing. Also, we need to realize that Jesus here is actually telling a parable, which is a story that has a spiritual implications, right? He's not declaring a rule or a doctrine in this passage. It's about hearing God's word and how different people receive it, or how we can receive it, receive what God says. You know, one of the things I think we can glean from this parable is that the four soils can represent four different attitudes towards us receiving communication from God. These four kinds of attitudes can determine whether you get the message clearly from God or whether you don't. And this is so important for us, folks. Obviously, if you can tune into God, then He can direct you, right? He can save you a lot of time, a lot of grief from making wrong decisions. He can comfort you when you need comfort. He can guide you, and so on. So in this text we're looking at today, Jesus says, "Once there was a man who went out to sow grain. As he scattered the seed in the field, some of it fell along the path where it was stepped on, and the birds ate it up. Some of it fell on rocky ground, and when the plants sprouted, they dried up because the soil had no moisture. Some of the seed fell among thorn bushes, which grew up with the plants and choked them. And some seeds fell in good soil. The plants grew and bore grain, 100 grains each." And Jesus concluded, "Listen then, if you have ears." His disciples, or his followers, asked Jesus what this parable meant. And he answered, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to the rest it comes by means of parables, so that they may look but not see, and listen but not understand." This is what the parable means. The seed is the word of God. The seeds that fell along the path stand for those who hear, but the devil comes and takes the message away from their hearts in order to keep them from believing and being saved. The seeds that fell on rocky ground stand for those who hear the message and receive it gladly, but it does not sink deep into them. They believe only for a while, but when the time of testing comes, they fall away. Seeds that fell among thorn bushes stand for those who hear, but the worries and riches and pleasures of this life crowd in and choke them, and their fruit never ripens. And the seed that fell in good soil stand for those who hear the message and retain it in a good and obedient heart, and they persist until they bear fruit. God speaks to us through His Word, the Bible, and by the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts and minds. What are some things this parable shows us regarding being able to hear God when He speaks to us? Well, the first thing I see in this story is that I must have a receptive heart. Must have a receptive heart. Just wanting to be able to hear from God makes you well on your way to actually hearing from Him. You've got to want to hear from God. You've got to be receptive to that fact that he does want to speak to you and is in fact speaking to you. Now, some of you here today may have not yet decided to put your faith and trust in Jesus as Savior and God. You're still checking things out. You came because you have some interests. You're looking for the truth. I just want you to know that you are welcome here. All of us have been exactly where you're at. Some of you here today are fairly new followers of Jesus still. Others have been following him for many, many years. But if I were to ask you, have you ever heard God speak to you? There are many of you who would say, I can't think of a time where I can definitively say I heard God speak to me. I'm not just talking about an audible voice, but even an impression, thoughts in your mind that you knew were from God. Why is that? Why can that happen? One of the possible reasons is that just have never been open to it. Even in the church, there are some churches that teach that God doesn't speak to people anymore. That was just for that time that was written in the Bible. So you haven't even been open to it. Maybe some of you don't even know whether you believe God is real or not. When you've got a closed mind, obviously, God's not going to get through. This attitude of a closed mind can be represented by the first soil. As he scattered the seed in the field, said some of it fell along the path where it was stepped on and the birds ate it up. See, in those days, on every farm, that's how they did it. In every field, there would be this footpaths, different paths that the farmer would walk down. As he went, he would throw the seeds out on either side of the path into the land that was tilled. There are two characteristics of a footpath. One, they're hardened because of the constant traffic of people walking, right? They're hardened. The other thing is that it's narrow. You don't want to take up a whole bunch of the tilled soil. You want to be able to plant your seed as many as you can, right? So it's narrow and it is hardened. I wonder if you know anybody like that. Narrow-minded and hard-hearted. Ladies, please don't elbow your husband. This kind of person really is not even open to the possibility that God might speak to them. As a result, Jesus says the farmer sows seed, but it can't penetrate because it's hard. The ground is hard. It's compacted. It can't take root. It can't sprout. It just lays there on the surface of the ground, and the birds come along and eat it. This, I find, is often, too often the case for many folks. God wants to speak to them, but they've hardened their hearts and closed their minds to him. The writer to the Hebrew church at that time warns us that today, if you hear God's voice speaking to you, do not harden your hearts against him, as the people of Israel did when they rebelled against him in the desert. I don't know what kind of experiences you may have had that caused you to close the door on God. You may have had some hopes and dreams that were crushed, or a loved one you lost, or whatever. But for some reason, you blamed God and hardened your heart towards him. I'm sorry for your experience. I really am. But I'm even more sorry that you thought God didn't care, or worse, that he caused it. The reality is that when life throws us a curveball, we automatically look for someone to blame, right? And usually God is the easiest target. That's only because we don't know his heart, which is always full of love towards us. During an extremely difficult time in the life of an ancient preacher named Jeremiah, God comforted and encouraged him by saying this, I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you hope and a good future. So you see, God does not plan bad things for you. His plans are for you, to help you through the difficult times that life, that everyone experiences. We all go through stuff. And he wants to bring you through stronger and with a softer heart, so that you and show compassion and help others going through difficult times. The early church leader, Paul, explained it like this to the church in Corinth, Greece. He said, he, God, is the father of compassion, the God of all comfort. He consoles us as we endure the pain and hardships of life so that we may draw from his comfort and share it with others in their own struggles. Paul says when difficulties come, God comes alongside us to help us, to strengthen us, to comfort us, to encourage us by his Spirit. So you can trust him and open your hearts towards him. And he will accept you and speak words of love and comfort to you. I love how the famous King David wrote, "Oh God, you will not reject a humble and repentant heart." A humble, repentant, receptive heart will hear from God. So let God love you. Drop your defenses. Open up your heart and your mind to him. Second thing our text tells us we need to do to hear God's voice is rescue time to listen. What do I mean by this? Well, you've heard of making time, right? Well, the way I see it, we all have the exact same 24 hours in the day. You can't make any more. So instead, what we have to do is we have to take time, right? We have to take it away from something else. We all have busy lives, but all too often we're busy because we've filled our days with stuff that really doesn't matter for eternity. So we need to rescue some of that time from the things that rob us time with God. Paul told the church in Ephesus, make the best use of your time, despite all the difficulties of these days. You know, we schedule everything else in our lives, don't we? Vacations, first thing we schedule usually. Dentist appointments, last thing maybe, I admit. Dates, we schedule homework even. Everything else we schedule. Do you set aside time in your schedule to listen to God? Speak with him. Hang out with him. Or does he just get your leftovers? When we live this way, God gets shortchanged, shuffled to the back of the deck, so to speak. Instead of taking time to be with God and listen, we say, God, I need your help. Tell me what to do, but do it quickly because I'm running out of time, right? If we're always running out the door to our next project or assignment or job, we miss what God wants to say to us. Jesus says in our text, the seeds that fell on rocky ground stand for those who hear the message, receive it gladly, but it does not sink deep into them. They believe only for a while, but when the time of testing comes, they fall away. So just as the hardened path can represent a closed mind, a shallow soil can represent a superficial attitude. When Jesus talks about rocky ground here, now, a little bit different than Alberta, right? He's not talking about soil with a bunch of rocks in it. Okay, in the Middle East, and particularly in Israel, much of the land is actually a solid bedrock of limestone with about 3 to 4 inches of topsoil on top of it, okay? That means plants can only grow down those few inches, but that's about it. It takes years for their roots to break through that tough limestone. So when summer comes, the heat is on, plants can wither. They die because they haven't had the time to develop deep roots. Soil, then, represents a superficial attitude towards the things of God. I heard a guy one time say he's all hat and no horse. you put on the air, but there's nothing there with you, right? Their faith sprouts up. They get all excited. They buy the hat, but it doesn't last. I found that these people typically end up running from experience to experience, spiritual high to spiritual high, but couldn't be bothered to show up for Bible study. So when the heat comes, cares and worries of life, they end up withering and falling away. Jesus says they hear the message, receive it gladly, but it does not sink deep into them. In other words, they don't retain it, right? He's saying that you can hear without listening or understanding. The message does not transform your life. You need to find ways to retain what God speaks to you when you read his word, the Bible, or when I'm teaching on Sunday mornings or at Bible study. You need to take those notes. That's why I provide an outline for you, which half of you don't even know where you put it. You've got to take time to let what God says sink in. You need to schedule time every day where you sit down with your Bible and read. Think about your life and pray. Maybe review some of the lessons and things you've heard. Write those down. Keep growing your roots by reviewing. Have a receptive heart. Take time to listen. And thirdly, remove distractions. Remove distractions. A lot of times we miss hearing God because we're just too distracted. Our minds are filled with concerns of daily living, worries, plans, ambitions, bills, etc. When our mind is full and we're always thinking, we'll never hear that still, small, gentle voice of God. There's a wonderful account in the life of Elijah, who was a powerful prophet and spiritual leader in ancient Israel. Listen to how God spoke to him. As Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" You see why it's so important to remove distractions? I love that. Elijah knew his voice, right? And as soon as he heard it, he knew. God has an infinite number of ways to get your attention. Some of them you may not like very much. But he chooses to gently whisper to your heart because he wants your undivided attention. He won't compete with whatever else you might think is more important. Instead, he patiently waits for you to open your heart and your life to him. I remember hearing that after the fire in Hawaii, many family members said that they were unable to get through to their loved ones on their cell phones because all the circuits were busy. And in the same way, I'm sure that there have been times when God has wanted to talk to you but got a busy signal. Because all your circuits were busy. You've got to take time. Got to take a breath. When you're too busy to hear from God, you are too busy. Jesus said, "The seed that fell among thorn bushes stand for those who hear, but the worries and riches and pleasures of this life crowd in and choke them, and their fruit never ripens." So this soil with weeds that the farmer is throwing seeds on can represent a preoccupied mind. The seed sprouts and grows, but it's choked out by the weeds. It's drowned out by the distractions in our lives. So it doesn't produce anything. Jesus actually gives us three examples right in this verse that can of things that can distract us. First thing he says is worries can distract us from hearing God speak, right? Worries are the problems, the pressures of daily life. The Greek word used here means to be pulled in different directions. Anybody ever felt like that? That's the Bible's definition of worry. When you're worrying, your mind is being pulled in all different directions. When Jesus said, next he says, riches can be weeds in your life as well. We can be so busy making money that we don't have time for God. So busy making a living that we don't really live. And the desire to make money, are you distracted from hearing God? Another weed, he says, can be pleasures. Now, folks, there is nothing wrong with pleasure. Who do you think gave you the ability to enjoy pleasure? It was God, right? God did. Fun was his idea. God gave you those senses so you can enjoy the life he's given you. But Jesus says that you can be so distracted by having fun and feeling good that you forget about him. A weed can be anything that distracts me from taking time to be with God and hearing his voice. Here's a question for you gardeners. How much effort does it take to grow weeds? None at all, right? You don't have to water weeds. They grow no matter what you do, right? Weeds are a sign of neglect. When I start neglecting my time with God, when I start neglecting Bible study, when I neglect being together with the church, when I neglect my times of prayer, weeds are going to grow in my life. And Jesus says they're going to choke the spiritual life right out of me. That's another thing about weeds. They're invasive. If I don't deal with them, they'll choke out my joy. They'll choke out my peace, my purpose, my ability to handle problems, etc. The weeds will choke the very life out of me. And they come when I neglect my time with God. Final thing our parable shows us about hearing from God is that we need to have an attitude that's willing to respond with obedience. Respond with obedience. See, God talks to those who decide in advance that they're going to do whatever he tells them to do. They're going to receive what he has to say. Most of us want God to talk to us, and then we'll decide whether we want to do it or not, right? But God says, no, that's not how it works. We're not playing that game. God talks to people who are ready to do what he tells them. If you want God to speak to you, you need to say, okay, God, I'm going to do what you tell me to do, whether I understand it or not, whether it makes sense or not, whether I want to do it or not, because I know it's the right thing. And I know you know what's best for me. So the fourth soil represents a willing heart, an attitude that's willing to do whatever God tells you to do. Jesus said, the seeds that fell in good soil stand for those who hear the message and retain it in a good and obedient heart. And they persist until they bear fruit. I want you to circle the word retain. Got that there. They not only hear God's word, but they retain it, or write retain in your outline there. They listen to it. They write it down. They talk about it. They apply it to their life. The result, Jesus says, productive life, a fruitful life. Now circle the word obedient. Would you like your life to count for something? Something more. Something greater. Would you like to have a productive, fulfilling, satisfying life, then do what James said to the early church. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. Don't just listen to what God has said in the Bible, but listen to what he's saying to you through it today. What are you going to do as a result of what you've heard today? James says, be doers of the word. You need to do something. The moment you walk out the door, there's a little bird. It's going to try to steal those seeds that we've talked about here today. He's going to get you distracted, get you thinking about where you're going for lunch, about the jerk who pulled in front of you in the parking lot. Sorry if that was me. There are a lot of other distractions, aren't there? If you feel God speaking to you, you need to do something about it then and there. And he will continue to speak to you, guiding you, growing you into the fruitful person he created you to be. Remember what we read in the book of Hebrews. Today, if you hear God's voice speaking to you, do not harden your hearts against him. Maybe you're here and you're watching online and you're hearing God speak to you what maybe feels like for the very first time, inviting you, you feel that tug in your heart, inviting you into a relationship with him. Then it is so important for you to respond today. Because if you say no, then your heart will be hardened a little bit more. And each time you say no, it'll harden more and more and more until you never hear his voice again. So if this is you today, and you're here, and you've heard this word, and you're ready to take that step of faith, to put your trust in Jesus, give him your life, I'm going to help you by leading you in a short prayer. We all bow our heads together, please. You can just follow along silently, and God will hear you, because he already knows your heart. Just pray, dear God, I admit I haven't been living for you. I've been doing things my own way, and not even really giving you much thought in my life. I'm sorry for that. Please forgive me. Make me right with you. I believe that Jesus came to earth to show me the only way to God by dying for me to pay for my sin. But right now, I ask him to be the Lord of my life. I want to hear your voice, God, as you guide me to be who you created me to be and to do what you want me to do. Thank you. Thank you that you hear me and you accept me as your child. It's in Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. Amen. The other musicians come back. If you gave your life to Jesus today, you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you please come see me after the service? Just let me know. You can fill in one of the connect cards in the back of the seat, or if you're online connected to this video, there'll be linked to it. And it's also on our website and our app. I do have some literature I can share, and I just want to just connect with you and see if there's any other ways we can help you. Also, again, I want to mention, as this is still our first month, we're still starting off this theme this year out in the foyer. There's still some of those little cards. If you haven't got one yet, just a reminder for you of our theme throughout the year, and you can keep coming back and taking more, and you can share them with those around town and in the area here who need to discover who God is. All right.